Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where it was never in doubt. The Rangers got on the board 147 in. Their last goal came with 2:58 to play. It was a three-per-period performance for the Kitchener Rangers tonight in a 9-2 romp over their divisional rivals from Owen Sound. Kitchener takes the season series by a count of 5-3. Let's run down your scoring summary from this one. That goal that came just 1:47 into the game was off the stick of Luke Elenis, his 14th, with Luca Romano drawing the lone assist, 1-0 Kitchener. Then, on the Channers power play, at 10:36 of the first, Matt Sopp would score his 41st from Carson Rakoff and Hunter Brustevich, 2-0 Kitchener. Sopp wasn't done either. At 18:42 of the first, Sopp would score his second of the period. Brustevich and Rakoff, the assists again. It was 3-0 Kitchener after 20 minutes. In the second, it was another Channers power play goal for the Kitchener Rangers. Edward Chalet with his 14th from Philip Machar and Matt Sopp just 57 seconds into the second, 4-0 Kitchener. And then two more late for the Rangers in that second period, both of them on the Channers power play. Carson Rakoff, his 51st from Philip Machar and Edward Chalet. That one came at 18:27. It was on a 5-minute match penalty for slashing taken by Owen Sound defenseman Sam Sedley. And then just 24 seconds after that, Luke Elenis would get his second of the game and 15th of the season, another Channers power play goal. It came at 18:51. Motu and Misseljevic, the assists on Elenis's second of the game. 6-0 Kitchener after 40 minutes. In the third, just 3:28 in, Luca Romano would score his 9th of the season. Luke Elenis picks up the assist. It was 7-0 for the Kitchener Rangers, but the attack would find a bit of life. Sam McHugh on a freaky, fluky kind of goal. A shot deflects high up into the air. Goaltender Jackson Parsons loses sight of it. And from our perspective here in the broadcast booth, it looked like it was going to land in behind the net. Instead, it landed just to Parsons' right and snuck inside the post. He never saw it. He never reacted to it. All of a sudden, it was in the net. McHugh's 21st from Declan Waddick at 4:36 of the third. That made it 7-1. And then McHugh again, after a good shift and some hard work by the Owen Sound attack, he would get his second of the game and 22nd of the season from Braden Rogers. It came at 6:30 of the third, and that made it 7-2. That's all the attack would get, though. Edward Chalet, unassisted as he won a race against Owen Sound goaltender Corbin Vodery, who tried to beat him to a puck. Chalet got to it first, moved around him, slid it into the wide-open net. 8-2 Kitchener on Chalet's second of the game. And then Philip Machar goes five-hole at 17:02 of the third. Machar's 19th of the season from Adrian Misseljevic and Hunter Brustevich, who picked up three assists on the night. 9-2, the Rangers win this game. Kitchener goes 4-for-7 on the Channers power play. The attack go 0-for-4, and the Rangers outshoot Owen Sound 44-28. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers win it 9-2 over Owen Sound. Let's get it downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with head coach UC Hokies. Coach, after a 9-2 win tonight, it's back-to-back Fridays with 9 goals scored. How do you feel about the offensive surge of the team?
Well, that was really good. I liked our power play. Power play got goals tonight. A lot of goal scorers. We had plenty of chances. Played one of the best first periods what we had. Like, chances were 18-1 or 17-1, but we dominated that period. That was really good hockey, and of course we kept going, and yeah, have to be pleased how the boys played.
You mentioned the power play. The special teams this time of year have to be dialed in, and your power play got four goals, and your penalty kill was perfect. You must feel good about that.
Well, yeah, we had a week to practice it, and I think both Chip Sirkis and then Brad Flynn with PK, they've done a great job, and that's what we needed. And when the games start in playoffs, that will be the big issue. If you want to win games, your special teams have to be good, and it's going in a good direction.
Coach, how difficult is it to have the players maintain their focus when you're up 7-0 and you have a game plan and you want them to execute that game plan and not, you know, get away from it?
Well, it's human that you a little bit stop. We had in third period, there was a few shifts that where we weren't on our best, but they did. But that's like normal. Like you a little bit take your gas, like your foot off the pedal. Like that's just normal how it goes. And but still, you have to keep going and doing the right things. And today we did a good job on that too. I thought
that's 10 wins out of your past 12 games. You must be pleased with the way the team's playing and heading close to the playoffs.
Well, we're going in a good direction. Good bounce back after the London game. But, I have to be it's four games left, and then you have to be ready.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. You see Ahokas post-game thoughts following a 9-2 Ranger rout of the Owen Sound Attack here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Post-game coverage is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium where the Rangers win it going away. 9-2 the final as multiple players make it three-point nights. And by multiple, I mean for the Kitchener Rangers, six players with 3 points tonight. Chalet with two goals and an assist. Same for Luke Ellenis and Matt Sopp. And then a goal and two assists for Carson Rakoff and Philip Machar, followed by a three-assist performance from Hunter Brustevich. So a big one for the Rangers tonight. And by the way, with those three assists, Hunter Brustevich now at 88 points on the season. Give him 76 assists. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he could, with 76 assists, 84 is the Rangers' single-season assist record. That is held by Jason Akeson. He did it in 2010-11, or was it 09-10? Either way, a little more than a decade ago, Akeson set that mark for the Rangers. That's a bit of a stretch with four games to go. Can Brustevich get 9 assists to establish a new record? We shall see. But with 88 points, Hunter Brustevich is now just 4 points away from tying and obviously 5 away from establishing a new record for points in a season by a defenseman. Those 92 points were accumulated by Jason Gladney, Rangers defenseman, back in the 93-94 season. So the 92-point record for points by a defenseman in a season for the Rangers has stood for 30 years, and Brustevich is 5 points away from becoming the next Ranger defenseman to do that. Something to watch in the final four games of this season. Let's take a look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard tonight in Mississauga. The Steelheads nip the Niagara Ice Dogs by a final score of 3-2. In London, the Knights pick up a big win over the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, a 6-3 doubling of the Knights over the Hounds tonight. And that moves London into sole possession of first place in the Ontario Hockey League. They also beat the Greyhounds for the first time this season. Of note, Ruslan Gazizov's four-goal performance. Easton Cowan picks up the point to extend his point streak to 33 games. That ties a London Knights franchise record. David Gilmour, no relation to Doug, different spelling, but David Gilmour holds the modern-day Knights franchise record for consecutive games with a point. Doug Gilmour, speaking of the Gilmours, holds the CHL record with a 55-game point streak. He accumulated those when he was a member of the Cornwall Royals. There's a look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. In Guelph, the Storm lead Saginaw 4-2 midway through the third. Let's send you downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with Edward Chalet, and I guess before I ask him any questions, I should wish you a happy belated birthday. It was last Sunday, I believe, right?
Yeah, right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I guess the gifts you got were the third star and the two goals and the assist. Was that a nice birthday gift for you?
Oh, yeah, it was nice. The game was pretty good for us, and, yeah, we scored 9 goals, so I'm happy.
That's back-to-back Friday nights with this team scoring 9 goals, and it's two really dominant performances against Owen Sound in the last two games you played. Where's this offensive surge come from?
I think from the D-zone. We played good through a good D-zone, and I think in the first period they had one shot, maybe two. I'm not sure. Yeah, we had a good D-zone, and after, yeah, we have good players to the offensive zone, so we made a couple chances.
On your second goal, what did you think when you saw the goalie coming all the way out, and then it became a foot race to the puck?
Yeah, first time I think I will go like breakaway, and the goalie just start going for a puck, so I need to go a little bit quicker, and yeah, it was a bad play for him. Yeah.
The goals have started to come for you, the points have started to come for you. You know, are you feeling more comfortable here now after the trade, which was a while back?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think so. I feel better like after this game. I think it's maybe a couple of weeks ago I started to feel better. My game was better and better every game. Yeah, for sure. This game was like was good, like point game. But I didn't look for this. I think we have a good team and we can go a long way this year.
Playoffs are only 4 games away. Are you looking forward to the start of the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody here looking forward to the playoffs. It's like new season for us. So we need to be ready.
Does your family listen to the games on the radio back home at all, like streaming?
Yeah, they have on hockey TV, so they're watching every game.
And they must be real proud of you.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I didn't talk with them yet, so we talk every day, but mostly after a game's like next day, so it's in our time, it's like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., so yeah, it's pretty tough for them.
Congratulations. You're playing well. Keep it rolling, and all the best as we finish out the season here.
Yeah, thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Edward Chalet, family watches back at home on Hockey TV, and they'll connect tomorrow because it's time for them to get to bed and for Edward to celebrate the Rangers' 10th victory in their past 12 games. Your three stars and more, plus, of course, your phone calls for Rangers Talk still to come. Stay with us. Kitchener Rangers Hockey and your post-game show for You Save Flooring continues on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Just a shade under 6,800 here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight for home game number 32 on the Rangers schedule. 33 will be Tuesday when Guelph is in town, and the final regular season home game next Friday with the Oshawa Generals in town. And Oshawa, don't look now, but on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard, Oshawa, an 8-5 win in Sudbury tonight, lengthening their lead in the Eastern Conference, and that is 9 in a row for the Jennies. How do you like that? Speaking of 9, the Rangers win this game over Owen Sound 9-2. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game. Three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.com. ESPN.org. There will be a repetitive feel to these three stars. They're all Kitchener Rangers, for starters. Third star, Edward Chalet, from whom we just heard ringside with Paul Fixter. Chalet had two goals and an assist tonight. The second star from the Rangers with two goals and an assist is Luke Elenis. And the first star of this game with, you guessed it, two goals and an assist, Matt Sopp. He's now got 42 on the season, and he is the first star of this game. So it's a home side sweep of your three-star selections tonight. Sopp, Elenis, and Chalet. Three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Your post-game show brought to you by You Save Flooring continues on City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here at the Memorial Auditorium following a 9-2 Ranger romp over the Owen Sound attack. Back-to-back nine-goal outbursts on Friday nights for the Kitchener Rangers. And I just had a text from a buddy, Paul, during that commercial break. He said, I didn't expect that tonight. You did call for a lopsided score. You had a gut feeling. Your instinct was telling you lopsided. I'm not sure even though you were thinking 9-2 lopsided.
No, I would have taken another 6-1, you know, something like that. But 9-2, and really, Mike, it was 9-1. That one goal was, you know, kind of a crazy goal. So impressive nonetheless. And, boy, this team just seems to be gelling and playing some really good hockey at an important time of the year.
6-1 was the prediction from Max the Usher, who is now basically Max the doorman at the media room. Max used to work Section 11. I think I've got that right. Shame on me if I've forgotten, but used to see Max before every game when I was coming up here to the broadcast booth. Now he mans the door at the media room, but he always gives a score prediction. And you don't have to ask for who. He always just tells you, you know, he means for the Rangers. I do want to touch on something you just said, Paul, and then we'll get into, because I think this might extend into Rangers talk, and let's get a sense of how these fans are feeling as the playoffs are now just four games away. Look, things are going great. Back-to-back nine-goal performances on Friday nights. This was win number for 41. The Kitchener Rangers. There you go. Yeah. 41 wins in the books. And 10 of 12 they have won after that rather ugly losing 8 of 9 slump they were in. Injuries, etc., but still not a great look. The two losses, though, in the 12 games, Sault Ste. Marie and the London Knights. You got to love what you just saw tonight. And Rangers fans, I hope you're listening and you're going to give this some thought. Of course you love what you saw tonight. You love 10 wins in 12 games. But if you want to go far in the playoffs, Sault Ste. Marie, London, and another team, Saginaw, are standing in your way of going far. So the question becomes, does this team have the jam to go up against the big boys here in the West?
Well, I think the same thing could have been said last year with the Windsor series, and they found a way to not only win the series, sweep the series. You know, last year's last year, this year's this year. The short answer would be yes. Is it going to be easy? No. But, boy, momentum's a wonderful thing, Mike, and they seem to have great momentum. Those three teams you mentioned, those Sioux, London, and Saginaw, they're really exceptional teams, and it won't be easy, but it's doable. Absolutely.
I agree wholeheartedly. I love the point about momentum. I think that's huge, and if this team is feeling good about itself and can carry that even through a first round, perhaps, you never know. And also, when this team was going so well at the beginning of the season, when they came out of the gates and they basically led from day one till Christmas time, first place in the Ontario Hockey League, those included wins over London, Saginaw on opening night in this building, and the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. So they can do it. Can they do it over a series? I'm getting way ahead of myself, I know, but I think it's worth asking.
It is, and, you know, injuries play such a part of a season and really are magnified in playoffs. if one of those teams has a major injury or their goalie goes down, and I'm not wishing ill health on anybody, but that happens. That happens in series that you play back-to-back nights. Like, you play every other night, it seems like. So, you know, Mike, just talking about momentum, it makes me think of one of my favorite lines ever by Bobby Cox when he had those great pitching staffs with the Atlanta Braves, and they asked him who's going tomorrow, and he just looked and he said, momentum.
Yep.
Didn't matter. Didn't matter who they put out there. The Braves were going to win. And I know people are going to say they only won one championship. Yeah, well, I'd rather get there and lose than not get there at all, and the Braves got there. I'm not a Braves fan. I'm just saying that because I know somebody's going to call me out. I caused the shout-out tonight.
You did.
And the Atlanta Braves only have one world championship. My bad.
There you go. It is a great quote, though, from Bobby Cox. All right, Rangers Nation, how are you feeling? I'm guessing somewhat delirious at this point. 9-2, the Rangers win. Big nights. Six players had 3 points for the Rangers. An impressive offensive performance. 4 games to go. How deep can this team go? How much faith do you have in it? We'll start taking your calls as we open the phone lines. Rangers Talk is coming up. This is Kitchener Rangers Hockey post-game coverage, including Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. The Kitchener Rangers started the scoring early, and they ended it late. 1:47 into the game, it was 1-0 for Kitchener. 2:58 remaining in the game, it was 9-2 for Kitchener. And the Rangers pick up season victory number 41. Carson Rakoff, season goal number 51. Matt Sopp, goals number 41 and 42. And the beat goes on for the offense of this Kitchener Rangers Hockey Club, Paul Fixter.
Certainly does. The multiple point games, you know, and last week, Mike, when they got 9, none of the, you know, the so-called big stars or whatever were really involved. And this tonight, they were. So it's just such a balance on this hockey club. You know, some guys just, you know, Brustevich just goes out and has another ho-hum. 3-point night. It's fun to watch.
One of the questions, because the Rangers were able to do this without him, which is why I thought, and we haven't brought up his name since the Harris Law pregame show, so we can get into that conversation now too. And I'm not telling tales out of school when I say Mitch Martin was not in the Rangers lineup tonight. I have no idea what ails him, although I can make assumptions just like everybody else. He missed 42 games with his pelvic fracture. And even when he was back, he seemed to have a little hitch in his skating stride. And now he was not in the lineup tonight. My hunch is that that hitch is bothering him enough. The Rangers thought, you know what? We're a fourth place team. Ain't nobody catching us. It's unlikely we'll catch anybody. Even with Sault Ste. Marie's loss tonight in London, the Rangers are still 5 points back of the Hounds with 4 games to go. So unlikely to move up. You're certainly not falling down. Let's just shut Mitch Martin down for the final couple of weeks of the regular season and give him a break to the playoffs. That's my hunch. Nobody's told me anything. That's just my suspicion.
No, I think that's very very much it, I would believe, Mike. They've had a week off here. We have another week of hockey left. And then the playoffs, I don't know the starting date for the playoffs, but probably another week out. So there's 3 weeks of recovery.
And that 3 weeks of recovery will be great for Mitch Martin. If the team can put up 9 goals without him, everybody will be happy about that as well.
But Mitch Martin did want to get back to game shape, as he told us in some interviews that we have done with him. And it's important, I think, that he sees some action. Well, I would like to see him have some action before the playoffs start, Mike.
The question becomes, does Mitch Martin, the overager, bigger body, hitch in his stride or not, provide more to your lineup than some of the players that have been rotating in and out as healthy scratches. And I think that's a decision, obviously, the coaching staff makes.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Boy, I like the big body, but if he isn't able to keep up with the pace of the game, big body or not, doesn't matter.
519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. They're starting the teardown here at the Memorial Auditorium to get ready for that Titans game tomorrow night. The first place KW Titans will be in this building tomorrow night. We stay late into the night for Rangers talk. Let's get right to the phones. Bill, you're on City News 570.
Hey, Mike and Paul, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Bill.
Yeah, the guy that buys one of my season's tickets tonight, he knows somebody that's in the know, apparently. I'm not one to start any rumors, but he told me that Martin is shut down for the season. He's hurt. So I don't know if that's true or not, but
I've been in this business a long time, and I've always said, if you don't hear a rumor by noon, start one.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I said. Martin's not playing, and that's what he said to me. So I'm just saying it. I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, it doesn't make sense that he's sitting out to me. I mean, and the other thing is, I think when it comes to the playoffs, I think we're better off playing Sagan on the second round rather than London. I think London's in these guys' heads for some reason. Like, I went to that London game, and it's just, they seem to stand back and watch them and kind of in awe, and London just seems to be in their heads. Like, I don't think London's that, they're a little bit better, but they're not that much better. But I just think they're in their head, and I don't think that's a good matchup in the playoffs. So I think they're better off with Saginaw.
Well, the other part of that is London has to win to get to the Memorial Cup.
That's right.
Saginaw doesn't have to win. Like, if you know, you're playing a team that doesn't have to win to get there. They're already hosting it. That
right.
is kind of something that I would rather play them too, because are they going to be motivated to win? Of course they will. Nobody wants to back themselves in, but they don't have to again.
And let Sue and the London beat shit out of each other.
Easy there, big fella. I know it's late on a Friday night, but easy there.
Oh, you can't say that. Okay, sorry.
No, listen. I'm with you, Bill. We can. If we're having a pop at the bar, you can say that as many times as you want. But this,
yeah, okay.
This is like a pop at the bar, but
yeah.
It's on the air too.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, that's quite all right, my friend. That's quite all right.
Anyway, that's all I really had to say. That's my two cents. I hope it's not true, but I just thought I'd let you know what I heard.
All right, Bill. I do appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. As Paul said, if you haven't heard a rumor by noon, start one. Look, it's unquestionably concerning that Mitch Martin was not in the lineup tonight, rather mysteriously. Paul, you were here for the skate today, the practice. There was no Mitch Martin at the skate. So
no. So, yeah, it's – I mean, people are going to – surmise, and I mean, we can't verify that rumor, so I don't know. It's unfortunate, no, Mike, but I think to get back to your initial question, if he can't skate, if his skating is really impacted by this, then he's not going to be effective for the Rangers.
How devastating is that for the hockey club, which had to make some really tough decisions when it came to its overage situation this year? And Mitch Martin started the season exactly the way you'd want him to start the season, right? He's got 15 points in 14 games or whatever the number was at the beginning of the season. He came out very strong. You've got Motu, you've got Sopp, you've got Roman Schmidt returned to you, you've got Mitch Martin, then Martin gets injured, and you have to make your decision at the trade deadline, I guess, on the best advice you can get at the time as to the prospects of Mitch Martin returning and returning in some effective way. What a tough... You think this job is easy? You think it's easy being a GM in this or any league? Forget about it. That's just a nightmare for Mike McKenzie and this hockey club.
No, and your job as the leader of any group is to gather information. And the more information you gather, the better decision you can make. And that's exactly the process they would have went through. They would have talked to the doctors, the trainers, et cetera, Mitch himself. And in the end, you make a decision. And it's not for any of us to second guess their decision because they did their due diligence. And in the end, maybe it's not going to be something that is beneficial to the hockey club if Mitch can't play. As devastating as it is to the hockey club, it's equally devastating for Mitch Martin, who's trying to, you know, finish out his junior career.
Exactly.
By playing, not by watching. And, you know, he has aspirations of moving on to play pro hockey. And this isn't helping his cause in any way, shape, or form. And that's really unfortunate because I really like Mitch Martin. I've gotten to know him quite well this year. I think he's a great individual who really cares. And it has to be frustrating for him.
I love the kid. If his parents up north say, you need somebody to adopt you down there in Southern Ontario, Mitch, my door's always open. Just to, the other thing that Bill talked about with he'd rather see Saginaw than London. Well, if you want that to happen, you need Saginaw to finish first. Because if the top four teams make it through the first round, the Rangers would then play the first-place team. Right now, that team's London. And, oh, my gosh. The Saginaw Spirit, with 4 seconds remaining on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard, have just tied the game in Guelph. So they're going to play some bonus hockey at the Sleeman Center. We'll keep you up to date on that out-of-town score. But Saginaw, as we've already talked about, Paul, needs the win tonight if they want to finish first. Because London, with their win, is now 4 points up on Saginaw, but the Spirit have a game in hand. So, we'll see how this one turns out. I won't go any further than that. But if you want Kitchener to play Saginaw, you'd better hope Saginaw finishes first.
And that gives Guelph another point.
Yes.
Which moves them, well, at least a point, which moves them up to 65. And, Don, if you're listening, I know the playoffs don't start tomorrow, so I won't even go down that road. But, honestly, like, it is tight, which is fantastic for the fan bases and the league at large.
Don Cameron's least favorite saying was, if the playoffs were to start today, but the point for Guelph already moves them into a tie with Erie for fifth, and Guelph has a game in hand. So, again, that's something for us to keep up with on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard as we move through Rangers Talk. Let's get back to the phones. Bones is waiting. Bones, it's been a while. You're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, it has been. So the rumor about Martin in my section was there was a family emergency. So Paul said he's at practice today. So was he at practice or was he at the practice?
No, he was not at practice. Not at practice, which I also thought is interesting because he was practicing before he returned from injury. He was at least on the ice. So his absence, let me put it this way, Bones. I believe your section's rumor more than Bill's section's rumor. But who knows? Rumors are rumors.
Yeah.
And as for who we're playing, I don't really care who we play in the first round. I mean, we beat the pants off of two of the teams if possible, and we still play Guelph and Erie and beat the pants off of them and scare them for the first round. It's just I'm worried about playing London in the second round. I would much rather play Saginaw.
Yeah, I can understand that, Bones, and I appreciate the phone call. Just for the sake of variety, Paul, and I know this is your first time through, but we've had back-to-back playoff series with London. And I will add this because Bill got me thinking about it. So 2 seasons ago, it was Mike Patesian, Game 7 overtime after he had already been denied a goal that was actually a goal, somehow, astoundingly, got called back on video review. Anyway, but Patesian wins it. Game 7 overtime, knocks off the Knights. Then last year, the Knights knocked off the Rangers in 5. So it would be kind of interesting for a rubber match. Yeah. Can we just have somebody new, please, if it's not too much trouble? Heck, if we get Guelph in the first round, which they are starting to play better.
They are, yeah.
That's an old record being played again, too. We've Absolutely. Had a number of playoff series against
Guelph. Variety would be nice, Mike.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, variety would be nice.
So how about Erie and Saginaw?
And you mentioned Patesian, who's now playing this weekend in the University Cup.
And sorry, when I thought of that, I thought, you know what? Different players, sure, but Matt Sopp reminds me a little bit of Mikey Patesian, and Patesian, the overager, didn't want his season to end. Matt Sopp, if you've followed any of the coverage of him this week as he comes into his 200th game, which he'll play on Sunday, his dream would be to go out as a champion. So this guy who scored twice tonight is certainly the kind of guy that might say, follow me, boys, like Patizian did a couple of years ago.
Last Friday, we saw him get his 40th, and tonight we saw him get his 41st and 42nd. And he's really played some tremendous hockey. He's doing everything he can to get to that promised land that he would like to get to before the curtain is drawn on his OHL career.
Just because I like the numbers so much when they work out the way that they did, Luke Ellenis had two inverse goals tonight. He scored his 14th, and then Sopp scored his 41st, the inverse number. Then Ellenis scored his 15th right after Rakoff scored his 51st. I just, those things, for whatever reason, make my slightly off-center brain happy. Rangers win at 9-2 over the Attack tonight. Rangers talk continues, brought to you by You Save Flooring on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
The Rangers hammer the Owen Sound Attack tonight. 9-2 the final as six Rangers pick up 3 points in the romp over their divisional rivals. And as they get the subfloor down for the basketball court, Titans in here tomorrow night. We continue with Rangers talk until 11 p.m. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Be a part of the conversation tonight after this big Ranger win. Back to the phones. Greg, you are on Rangers talk on City News 570.
Hey, good evening, guys. Hey, I wanted to make a comment, and then I wanted to ask a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Absolutely, it's okay. Go for
it. Well, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to comment on, or get your guys' feedback, too. When Matt Sopp drew that penalty when it was 5-on-3, I think he drew a slashing call against McHugh down in the Owen Sound end. I thought that was a pretty cool move. I'm not sure if that's how it played out. Is that the thought that you guys had as well, that he drew that penalty to bring it to 4-on-3?
I mean, we loved the way he was playing shorthanded. He had a couple of chances, and yeah, he got around the defense, took the hook. Maybe it was a slash. You might be right. But either way, I'm not sure he knew that he'd draw the penalty, but he certainly put in the effort and was rewarded with the Ranger power play. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
No question about it. And you're talking about the Sedley slash?
No, this was the one where Sopp made the net drive. Yeah,
absolutely. And actually, prior to that, he had the best scoring chance.
That's right.
He did.
You know, he's really turned it up here in the last one. He's had a great season. He's had a really good season.
Certainly has.
Yeah, so a question, too. And I had the pleasure of running into Paul and his wife last week. Paul, you remember we were chatting.
Absolutely, Sunday. I do.
Yeah,
I've already forewarned Farwell. It's coming.
I'm so glad to hear from you, though, Greg. This is great.
But Greg, you were going to say longtime listener, first time caller.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry, longtime listener, first time caller.
Perfect.
Yeah. So this was a chat that Paul and I had, and if you're familiar, Mike, and you likely are, when you go into the yacht on the North Concourse and you make a right-hand turn and you go down by the player walls where the former players' pictures are all up in the walls, and there's actually a captain's wall as well showing the captains for the last 60 years. Okay? Now, question. How are they going to do that this year? We haven't named a captain. How are they going to put something up for 23-24 this year?
Greg, that's a terrific question, and I'll use an opportunity for a shameless plug, my podcast, the OHL podcast. Next week will be an episode with Larry Huris, who's a former captain here in Kitchener, and then went on to a great career as a coach. But nonetheless, I don't know the answer. I'll say this. I have a lot of faith in this organization doing things the right way. I think if you look around this arena, you look around this organization, you find that things are usually done in a very classy and or professional manner. My initial response to that would be they'll just skip the year And then when there's a captain, if there's a captain with this coaching staff next year, 24-25 will be the next year label. But Paul, I'm not sure, feels the same as I do.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Greg. I enjoyed discussing it with you, and I'm glad you called in for us to discuss it. By the way, what it forced me to do is go down and look at that wall. And when you start going through the names,
oh my gosh,
it's fantastic. And it brought back so many memories for me of guys that I watched as a kid, Dwight Foster, et cetera, et cetera. And then as it moved along, guys that I, when I was coaching here, that were our captains, just a fantastic wall. I don't know what they're going to do. I think there will be some recognition of this season and an X, or I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a year from now.
Yeah, we will.
But it's a great question. I mean, maybe they do leave it blank, and then it opens up for discussion in future years. I don't know. But I can't wait to find out, quite honestly, because I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
what do you think, Greg? Let me ask you. What do you think?
Well, yeah, this is what we were chatting about. I was thinking they just might put up the team. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, was there a there was no captain designated. Maybe the thought was the team is kind of a collective captain, that they just put the words the team, the Kitchener Rangers.
I've thought that through the season for the very reason you say, Greg. Let me be devil's advocate here, though, for a moment. If you put up the team name or you leave it blank or whatever, you are just leaving it for the next 60 years of Rangers fans to come in here and debate why there was never a captain this year. Most people have moved on from that, right? Yeah. Like, we talked about it earlier, and sometimes every once in a while, Fixie and I over a pop will say, you know, they never did name a captain this year, but then you kind of move on. If that stays on the wall permanently and blatantly shows that there's a gap, I don't know. I think the debate then will rage on for decades.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I'm really glad you called in. And I think it'll get people thinking, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let me ask a last quickie for both of you guys, just to answer and I'll close out. Paul, I know you've been around the OHL in previous years, and this is your first year with the Rangers, but let me ask, favorite auditorium or arena to broadcast, question for both, favorite arena to broadcast in other than the odd when you're on the road, question one. And then the second question, because Mike always puts up some pictures of food in the media room, favorite media room spread. What arena does the favorite spread for you guys? And what's your favorite arena to broadcast from when not at the odd? And I'll close out with those questions.
London's a really good vantage point for us, and it gives us lots of space. I think it's a tremendous area to broadcast from. And spread, you know, Windsor does a really good job, and I really like the ladies who disseminate the food there.
Yeah, and Warren Reichel's mom is still one of them. It used to be
Mrs. Reichel's, Bugner and
Bugner
Mrs. Reichel.
And Reichel. And, it's Bugner. Bob Bugner's mom is still there serving in the media room, which is always nice. I'll go this way for you, Greg. Kingston is very similar to London, only a bit smaller, but just because I hate London, and I will use that word deliberately, I'm going to pick Kingston for best to broadcast from, but London is pretty sweet. They've done everything right, but I'm going to, because I hate them so much, I hate the whole city. Sorry, I'll move on. Kingston I'm going to pick, and Fixie, I love him, but he hasn't been around long enough. Besides Kitchener, which is honestly...
Kitchener's, yeah.
Village Caterer does such a nice job here. We've had a full-on turkey dinner with, like, all the fixings. Like dressing and cranberry sauce, but I'll keep Kitchener out. Away from here, Saginaw, Jet's Pizza, fried chicken, taco nights, you name it. They give you pie for dessert. It's unreal. Yeah. I'm getting heavier just thinking about it. So that's a pretty good one.
Wonderful.
Thanks for listening, Greg. And I really enjoyed meeting you this week. Thank you.
Thank you too, Paul, and to your wife as well. It was a pleasure to meet you both and have that time with you. Thank you again. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Greg, appreciate the call. Great to hear from a first-time caller here on Rangers Talk. And what a great question. Now, I hope either Joe Birch, the chief operating officer, is listening or a little birdie whispers in his ear. Because, honestly, I think you just leave the year blank and then you won't really notice. Like, if you're just looking at them, you might notice the gap in years. But if you draw attention to the gap... I'm telling you, Fixie, the debate will rage for another 60 years. Why didn't they have a captain? Yeah. Didn't they have Matt Sopp on that team? What about Matt Andonofsky? And we will have, oh, my goodness. But it's a great question.
Yeah. Really enjoyed kind of thinking that through. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know either. I do know that the Rangers won big tonight, 9-2 over Owen Sound. And Andre is on the phone with us for Rangers Talk. Hey, Andre.
Well, hello, Mike. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Andre.
Yes, great game. Cheers to that. My daughter was there in the crack specialist booth, and what a wonderful time she had. That's what matters to me. She said it was a lot of points, a lot of let's go Rangers. So she had a fantastic night. Thank you, Rangers. I really love you guys' comment at the beginning about Hunter Mishedov. Sorry, Mike, but I do call also the Calgary talk to Pat. So I'm going to be very interested to hear more about Hunter because he's
sorry. Who's Pat that you call? Sorry, Andre. Who'd you say you call Pat?
Patrick, Patty, from the Calgary Flames. Call in. Like you.
He calls into Patrick. You must listen to the Flames games.
Yes.
And the Patrick is Mike Farwell.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
You can call anybody you want, Andre.
I know I cheat on you, Mike. I'm just joking.
That's all right, buddy.
I know. That's what friends are about. But he's an amazing player. He's just like you said, Paul. He goes forward. He reads the play. He's such a key. And what makes me blows my mind about the Kitchener Rangers, doesn't matter which NHL team plays, I have to watch the Rangers because there's so many great players in Ontario. You guys describe it wonderfully. And we got to remember, this is a rebuilt team, right, Mike?
Yeah, Andre, listen, appreciate the call. We got lots of other callers, got to move on, but this was supposed to be a rebuilding season, and certainly it's been anything but. I do like Andre's point about skipping the NHL in favor of the OHL. People that understand the value in this game, not only the value for dollar, but the talent you get to see, can give up the NHL pretty easily.
Well, and Eddie gets his chicken again tonight, you know, with the team scoring five plus goals.
Eddie, all Eddie wants is the freebies, more freebies.
No, the entertainment value is fantastic. And interesting, Andre mentions about he doesn't watch one NHL team, he watches players. I quite often get asked, who's my favorite NHL team? Well, of course, I worked for the Avalanche and I grew up following the Leafs, but I'm like Andre, I watch players that I know. Jeff Skinner, Gabriel Landeskog, et cetera, et cetera. Guys that I've been around, and that's more or less how I watch the NHL.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Leafs fan, so I stick with them, but I love watching players out of this league. And really, we're busy enough with 68 games here. I don't have a ton of time for those National Hockey Leaguers these days. Let's squeeze in one more before the break because I want to hear from Tim. I don't think I've seen that name on my list for a while. Tim, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Tim.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Great. Great game tonight. Nice to see, multiple players chipping in with multiple points. Now, my question, you were discussing, that kind of hitch in Mitch's stride. Now, this is just going as a hockey fan. I watch quality hockey players, and I know that the captain of our the Owen Sound attack, Barlow, has always kind of been a thorn in our side. Tonight, though, he appeared to be having some difficulty, and I just want to know, with some of your connections, is he still suffering from that back injury? Because he wasn't, maybe tonight he had an off night, but he just wasn't the player that I've seen when they have been in town.
It's a great question, Tim, and a great observation. To the best of my knowledge, and I have heard some of the buzz around the boards from reliable sources, to the best of my knowledge, he's 100%. So if he's being hampered by something, that would be news to me. But you're certainly not wrong that he was very quiet for the Owen Sound attack tonight.
Yeah, and they need him. They need him to be a top player, no question about it. I do know one thing. I don't know if it's back sailing or not, but he made a big mistake when he cross-checked Matthew Andonovsky, and that really cost the team. And you can't have your top players doing undisciplined things like that.
Yeah, it took four minutes and penalties early on. Yep.
Okay. Well,
but no, you're right. Yeah, he needs to be there. He needs to be one of their top players
for sure.
Yeah, and tonight he wasn't, but I know a couple times last year, he stood out as one of the top guys on the ice. And, it didn't appear that way. So I just thought if you had some of your sources. But, no, I appreciate you taking my call.
Tim, thank you very much for making it. And if we learn more, we'll certainly pass it along. But to the best of the knowledge of what we've picked up through this season, there is nothing at this point bothering Colby Barlow. I think we could say, though, Paul, in a slightly lighthearted way, general body soreness ailing the entire Owen Sound attack team. There's some malaise here with this team that is just hard to put a finger on.
Yeah, I don't understand, especially the importance of the games. And they just went into Erie and won back-to-back games. I know we had to go into overtime in a shootout, but and then to throw up a game that to play that poorly in an important game, I just don't understand how that can happen. I really don't. And I feel bad for Coach Tickle and Coach Rumble, because I know they care. I was down in the coach's room before the game with them, and, you know, they're watching video and they're doing everything they can to prep, and then your team comes out and, you know, gets outshot 23-3 in the first period. Completely unacceptable.
The Rangers led 3-0 after 1, 6-0 after 2, 9-2 the final as Kitchener picks up its 10th win in 12 games. Rangers Talk is a presentation of You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. We continue on City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Oh, where has Uncle Rob gone? His nephew, Matthew Sopp, with a pair of goals tonight. He's now at 42 on the season. I saw Uncle Rob's sister, Matt Sopp's mom, on the CTV News this week, and Uncle Rob's brother-in-law, because they did a story on Matt Sopp, who will play on Sunday his 200th OHL game. But Uncle Rob has been conspicuously absent from Rangers Talk, despite the heroic efforts of his nephew, who wears number 91 for the Kitchener Rangers and has accumulated now 88 points on the season. Sopp, one of six Rangers tonight who picked up 3 points in a 9-2 drubbing of the Owen Sound attack. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Let's get back to the phones. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk.
Farwell, Fixer, what's up, guys?
We're doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. What a game tonight. 9-2. And to be honest, I predicted 8-0, and I guess I was 3 goals off.
It's not bad. 8-0 is a bold prediction, and you were close.
And the fan beside me, Rob Hoffman, wants to add, but I'll take the credit for it. why wasn't Mitch Martin in the lineup tonight?
All right. I appreciate the question, Evan. Always good to hear from you, and enjoy those Sweet Lou's cookies that I know you always go for after the game. Why wasn't Mitch Martin in the lineup tonight? We've got rumors from two different sections. One is family emergency. Another is shut down for the season. These are just rumors from fans in the arena tonight. To the best of our knowledge, it is an undisclosed injury with no timeline for return. So that's the best we can tell you. And as Paul Fixter was saying during the commercial break, we're 4 games away from the playoffs. Good luck getting any information out of any team about the health of any player.
Yeah, no. That's just because that relates to the question about Colby Barlow.
Barlow,
and no, you're not going to get it. Mike, that just reminds me of a really quick story. Back when the big rivalry between Colorado and Detroit, and, you know, Wah had gotten into the fights and all that stuff, and we go into Detroit, and everybody thinks Wah's going to be playing, and Mark Crawford, who I love, puts in Craig Billington, and we end up winning the game 1-0. Biller gets a shutout, OHL player, Belleville
Former
Bulls.
Former Guelph Storm.
And...
Anderson. Sorry, yeah. You're right. Yeah, my apologies.
And so they asked Mark after the game why Patrick Waugh didn't play, and he says it wasn't his turn. And so maybe it wasn't Mitchell Martin's turn. I make my point with a long story, but maybe it just wasn't Mitchell Martin's turn. I'm going to go with that rumor.
You will probably remember, Paul, 04, 05, but anyway, Mike Richards.
Oh, yeah.
The ailing knee.
Yes.
And yet they taped up the wrist with bright pink fluorescent bandages,
yeah.
And the story went out, and the photos were taken of the injured wrist,
yeah.
And then Richie was playing with a bad knee. So that's how close they hold these things to the vest.
That's the way. Interesting now, no, not at this league, but with the NFL, how you have to disclose with betting, how betting has become such a big, and you have to disclose your injuries prior, you know, the week prior. It's interesting how that's, I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but it's so different in hockey. It's upper, lower, and you know, I guess sometimes middle body, I don't know.
Sometimes undisclosed, yes. Yeah. And I've heard the general body soreness actually said before. So anyway, and I'm glad Fixie's here to keep my Craigs straight. Billington, the Bull, Anderson, the Guelph Storm, both goaltenders from this Ontario League. All right, we continue Rangers talk. Cody, you're on City News 570.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixture. What's up, guys?
We're doing good. Thanks, Code.
Oh, man. That was that game tonight. It felt like a St. Patrick's Day massacre.
Wow. I guess Owen Sound probably feels that way.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah,
long bus
I know,
ride
I know
home up number
Sound
six.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, Sop and Elenis, those two, like, I was hoping for a hat trick from one of those two tonight. But, hey, 3 points isn't that bad, actually, tonight.
Yeah, you know what, Cody? Great call. Appreciate hearing from you. 3 points for six different players tonight. Chalet, Machar, Brustevich, Sop,
Rakoff,
and Elenis. And just to put a note on Elenis, one of the scouts that has been inquiring about him frequently, not in the building tonight, but checking in, clearly following online, and I was answering text messages during the intermission. This kid is putting himself on the radar. I have no doubt at this point of the season, Paul, that Luke Elenis will hear his name in June.
Oh, and I think it's going to be a lot higher than a lot of people would anticipate. I can see him going, Mike, as high as the third round. Really. He's a heck of a player, and there's just a lot of interest in him, and you don't want to miss out on somebody, you know, that just keeps getting better and better, and as do all these young guys. Because they've been given an opportunity from day one to play, the coaching staff has been really, really good about developing, and the way you develop is by playing.
Just watching the crew down there. My little cousin's working his tail off getting this floor ready for the Titans tomorrow night. It's about time he did something. Somebody in the family's got to work. I'm just up here talking. Real quick, you talk about those young players. Let's give a nod to Luca Romano in the game he had tonight.
The move he made down in the second period was just like, wow, is that kid got confidence. And then I said he's a right-handed Carson Rakoff, the way he shot that puck in the third period that rang off the crossbar post. I think it kind of hit in the corner. He's really starting to, and he got his ninth goal. Like, good chance he'll get 10 plus goals in the rookie season. Not too bad.
Confidence abounds, and this was game number 52 for him. Rangers fans, get used to the name. Number 86, Luca Romano. He's going to be fun to watch in the years ahead. Back to the phones we go. Derek, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, guys. Unless London changed something recently, do you know what they and the Rangers have in common this year?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure I want to know, but let's hear.
It's not penalty minutes.
Okay. What is it?
I don't think London is named a captain either.
You know what, Derek? I think you might be right about that. I'm trying to think, and Yeah, okay. Huh.
Interesting.
All right.
Have a look up on that.
I will look up on that.
That's a good observation.
Very good.
Derek, yes.
Yeah, probably the only OHL teams that have not done that. And surprising in London, of course.
You know what? I wish I would have known about that sooner. I would have asked. I do a lot of pregame interviews with Dylan. I would have asked Dylan about that.
Yeah.
I just never picked up on that. It's not something that jumps up. But that's a great observation, Derek. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it was the kid that was had a concussion, and he was...
Oh, McKinnon.
Yeah.
I think that was what it was about, so...
Okay. Well, you know what? Derek, great observation, and we'll look. Listen, if the Rangers want to have something in common with the London Knights, I think every fan here will be okay with that.
There you go. Okay.
There you go. All right, Derek, appreciate the call. Nice to hear from you. That just made me think of our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Oh, my goodness, those poor Guelph Storm. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory tonight. The Saginaw Spirit tying the game with 4 seconds to play and then winning it in overtime. So the Spirit's hopes of first place overall remain intact. They're 2 points back of London, but Saginaw has a game in hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
This season has been incredible, and how tight it is. And I mean, there's a reason they put time up on the clock. You play until it's finished. And... You know,
absolutely.
4 seconds is still 4 seconds.
It certainly is. All right, Daniel, let's go back to the phones. Daniel, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Fixture. How are we doing?
Very well, thanks.
All right, that sounds good. I hate stating the obvious, but, yeah, that was a really great performance by the Rangers, the most dominant I've seen this season. And against Owen Sound, like, yeah, they're having sort of a mid season, but they have some guys that can like do damage on any given night. I just want to say Matthew Sopp was excellent. I thought our rookies like Romano, I saw Derek Paulo, and he's, hopefully I pronounced that right, but I just loved how much he's improving on his defensive game, because it was kind of tough watching him at the start, but he is really improving. And just having Luke Ellenis on your third line, I just think that's amazing. I love this team's depth. And I'm very excited for the playoffs.
Daniel, great call. Really good to hear from you tonight. Let's just pick up quickly, Paul, on the Diracolo point that Daniel makes, because despite players with more games under their skates, Olivier Savard and Carson Campbell are the two that are kind of platooning on the blue line. Max Diracolo has found himself a spot.
And I agree, he's gotten better and better. He struggled, and he admitted, I did that interview with him, he admitted that he was finding the speed of the game at this level more difficult to adapt to than the level that he came from. And, Mike, I will say this, I know for a fact, because I saw it, there was an NHL team here tonight inquiring about Max Diracolo to one of the Kitchener coaches. That's impressive for this kid to start, because he's big, he's physical.
Exactly.
And he brings a mean streak that a lot of players don't want to do anymore. And Max actually loves it. He enjoys it. He's what a great find, you know, and shout out to Mike McKenzie and his staff for finding you know, a free agent.
Yeah, because he comes from Tier 2, and now he's going to get used to the game at this level, this speed. He'll have an off-season workout program that gets him more accustomed to what's required here. He's going to be fun, too. And you talk about what he likes, that physical edge to the game. It's nice to have on your blue line.
Yeah, and he just, you know, because they're healthy and there's lineup decisions to make, he isn't part of that equation at this point. You know, and good on him to force the coaches to keep him in the lineup.
Absolutely. Rangers win it big tonight, 9-2 over the Owen Sound Attack. We're up against the clock. But, Brett, hang in there with us. We'll get right to your call, and Stephen will try to squeeze you in, too, as we continue Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Six Rangers with 3 points apiece tonight. three of them two goals. Edward Chalet, Luke Ellenis, Matt Sopp all had two-goal games in the Rangers' 9-2 romp over the Owen Sound attack tonight. Kitchener has won 10 of its past 12 games. And just a quick note going back to Derek's call earlier, Ethan MacKinnon, no, was never named a captain of the London Knights prior to his season-ending surgery. He's now a, injury. He's now a development coach with the team. He was in the running, maybe considered to be captain material, but the London Knights, like the Kitchener Rangers, have not named a captain this season. Great observation, Derek, and thanks for calling the show. Daniel, you were great too, and as we wind things down, let's get back to the phone so we can hear from Brett tonight on Rangers Talk. Brett, you're on City News 570.
Hi, Farwell. Hi, Fixer. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Perfect. I am a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Attaboy, like Brett. That's what I like to hear. Attaboy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I just wanted to comment on a few things. First of all, I think that I would actually like to see Kitchener face London in round two, because Kitchener has proven to be able to slay the beast each and every single year. You know, your call back to 2 years ago when, you know, Petezian scored the overtime winner in game seven, and, you know, last year when we swept Windsor in round one, you know, like, I just think that Kitchener has the ability to, like I said, slay the beast.
I don't think you're wrong. It's a big beast, and London has certainly shown itself to be strong again this year. But hey, listen, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, right?
Yeah, well, I agree with, I think that Kitchener does get a little bit in their head when they play against London. And it's frustrating to watch, right? Because you know what kind of team Kitchener is, and you know how well they can play. And they just, it's every time they play them, it just seems like they're off their game, right? I think that London, I don't know why, but they just have the ability to get inside their heads, right? But I think that they can overcome it, just like the last year and the previous year before that, right? So I know you mentioned
the earlier,
you wanted someone different, but I think I kind of want London to slay the beast.
All right.
Well, Saginaw would be a beast as well.
For sure.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, right? I think Saginaw is a fantastic team. And, you know, I think we can beat them for sure. But I just would love to see the game against London. I'd love to be the ones to take them down early in the playoffs.
It would be fun. There's no question about it.
And I agree with Greg earlier. Matt Sopp driving to the net, like every single game, if you watch him play, he's just such a great player. He always drives to the net. And earlier in the game, driving to the net and drawing that hooking penalty during the 5-on-3 was just such a beautiful play. Seeing that in person was just amazing.
Yeah, he seems to be on a mission to really prove his leadership role and how good of a player he is, and he's really ramped it up here in the last while, and good on him. He's picking the right time of the year to get hot again.
Yeah, it's great. I love seeing Kitchener like back to the way we were playing at the beginning of the season up until we had that little bit of bad patch, right? But, you know, I think the boys are back to playing the way that we were before, and it's exciting to see that coming into the playoffs, right? So
yeah, and you know what? Over 68 games, you're going to have a little bit of a blip, and the Rangers had that. It was a pretty ugly one, losing 8 of 9, but now they've won 10 of 12, so that's not a bad spot.
Yeah, you can't win them all, right? So
there you go.
We're back to playing the way that we were at the right time, so, you know, I think that we're good to go.
Brett, it's great to hear from you on the show. Don't be a stranger, okay? Be a second-time caller sometime.
I'll call you next week. Actually, I'm right for the Guelph game, and we'll be at Erie as well. So I hope to see you there.
Attaboy, we'll watch for you. You're going to be wearing a Rangers jersey?
Absolutely. You'll see us there.
Okay. You will watch for you for sure. Thanks, Brett. Good to hear from you tonight.
And I do know Greg and his wife are going to Erie as well at the end of the year.
Amazing.
Making road trips.
Real quick, because we're real short on time, but I'm just looking at the box score from that Saginaw-Guelph game. I said earlier, Guelph snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. They were up 4-2 with 2.5 minutes to play.
Oh, man.
2.5 minutes to play. Michael Misa makes it 4-3. Sapovalov, with 5 seconds left, makes it 4-4. And with 12 seconds remaining in overtime, Josh Bloom wins it for Saginaw.
That's not even something a few adult beverages can correct, Mike. That's just really hard to swallow.
That's a night that Don Cameron would have finished the broadcast and said to me, I think I'll have a scotch tonight. 2 ounces. All right. We got to, on that note, call it a night. We've had a lot of fun, heard from a lot of new voices, and we love that here on Rangers Talk. A big win for Kitchener, 9-2 over the Owen Sound Attack. We're on the road Sunday, but of course, where the Rangers go, Paul and I go as well. We'll have pregame coverage from the Sleeman Center on Sunday afternoon starting at 1:30. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, our producer, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good night from the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.